Amen. Well, let's take the Word of God this evening, and if you please turn with me to the book of Genesis and chapter number 47. Genesis chapter number 47. As you're turning there, we see that Jacob and his sons have joined themselves with Joseph in Egypt, and they've been given a portion of the land to dwell in. Pharaoh has also given a task for Joseph's brothers to take care of other flocks as well of the Egyptians. And we pick up where we left off, and we come to verse number 11 of Genesis chapter 47. And the Bible says, Genesis 47 verse 11, "And Joseph placed his father and his brethren and gave them a possession in the land of Egypt, in the best of the land, in the land of Ramses, as Pharaoh had commanded. And Joseph nourished his father and his brethren and all of his father's household with bread according to their families. And there was no bread in all the land, for the famine was very sore, so that the land of Egypt and all the land of Canaan fainted by reason of the famine. And Joseph gathered up all the money that was found in the land of Egypt and in the land of Canaan for the corn which they bought. And Joseph brought the money into Pharaoh's house. And when money failed in the land of Egypt and in the land of Canaan, all of the Egyptians came unto Joseph and said, 'Give us bread, for why should we die in thy presence? For the money faileth.' And Joseph said, 'Give your cattle, and I will give you for your cattle if money fail.' And they brought their cattle unto Joseph, and Joseph gave them bread in exchange for horses and for the flocks and for the cattle of the herds and for the asses. And he fed them with bread for all their cattle for that year. And when that year was ended, they came unto him the second year and said unto him, 'We will not hide it from my Lord how that our money is spent. My Lord also hath our herds of cattle. There is not aught left in the sight of my Lord but our bodies and our lands. Wherefore shall we die before thine eyes, both we and our land? Buy us and our land for bread, and we and our land will be servants unto Pharaoh, and give us seed that we may live and not die, that the land be not desolate.' And Joseph bought all the land of Egypt for Pharaoh, for the Egyptians sold every man his field, because the famine prevailed over them, so the land became Pharaoh's. And as for the people, he removed them to cities from one end of the borders of Egypt, even to the other end thereof. Only the land of the priest bought he not. For the priest had a portion assigned them of Pharaoh, and did eat their portion which Pharaoh gave them. Wherefore they sold not their lands. Then Joseph said unto the people, 'Behold, I have bought you this day and your land for Pharaoh. Lo, here is seed for you, and ye shall sow the land. And it shall come to pass in the increase that ye shall give a fifth part unto Pharaoh, and four parts shall be your own, for seed of the field, and for your food, and for them of your households, and for food for your little ones.' And they said, 'Thou hast saved our lives. Let us find grace in the sight of my Lord, and we will be Pharaoh's servants.' And Joseph made it a law over the land of Egypt unto this day, that Pharaoh should have the fifth part, except the land of the priests only, which became not Pharaoh's. And Israel dwelt in the land of Egypt, in the country of Goshen, and they had possessions therein, and grew and multiplied exceedingly. And Jacob lived in the land of Egypt 17 years, so the whole age of Jacob was 147 years. And the time drew nigh that Israel must die, and he called his son Joseph, and said unto him, 'If now I have found grace in thy sight, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and deal kindly and truly with me. Bury me not, I pray thee, in Egypt. But I will lie with my fathers, and thou shalt carry me out of Egypt, and bury me in their burying place.' And he said, 'I will do as thou hast said.' And he said, 'Swear unto me,' and he sware unto him. And Israel bowed himself upon the bed's head." As we look at Genesis chapter number 47, we come to a place where we see Joseph's interaction with not only his own family members, but also with the people in the land of Egypt, but also with the people from around the world. And what we cannot escape as we come to these interactions is the type of person that we have already established Joseph to be. What we learn, if you go back with me in Genesis chapter number 41, if you remember, Pharaoh had requested the presence of Joseph. One of his servants had told him about Joseph, how he could interpret dreams, and Pharaoh communicated his dream to Joseph in Genesis 41, and Joseph gave the interpretation of the dream. And Joseph went on to tell Pharaoh exactly what he had to do in order to practically respond to the dream, which was a dream from God that was a prophecy of what was going to happen. 7 years of plenty and then 7 years of famine. And Joseph went and basically says, this is how you're going to prepare the land for this famine. And in verse number, by the way, Joseph said, you need to find a man who is discreet and wise. And the Bible says, and notice Genesis chapter 41, verse 33, the Bible says, now therefore let Pharaoh look out a man discreet and wise and set him over the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh do this, and let him appoint officers over the land, and take up the fifth part of the land of Egypt in the 7 plenteous years, and let them gather all the food of those good years that come, and lay up corn under the hand of Pharaoh, and let them keep food in the cities, and that food shall be for store to the land against the 7 years of famine, which shall be in the land of Egypt, that the land perish not through the famine. And notice verse 37, the Bible says, and the thing was good in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of all of his servants. And Pharaoh said unto his servants, can we find such a one as this is, a man in whom the Spirit of God is? And Pharaoh, verse 39, said unto Joseph, for as much as God hath showed thee all of this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. Thou shalt be over my house, and according unto thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou. We have already determined here that Pharaoh acknowledged that there was no other person in Egypt that fit these characteristics that ought to be found in a man who was going to be able to handle those 7 years of plenteousness and then 7 years of famine. And Pharaoh said, there's no one that is as discreet and as wise as you. Now, by the way, when we come to Genesis 47, where we are and we find how Joseph handled everything, this is, if you would, in the midst of the famine. We know what he did during the 7 years of plenteousness, but now we see how he dealt with during the 7 years of famine. And here we have to acknowledge that Joseph is still the man who is discreet and wise. I want to preach on that this evening, being discreet and wise. And I want to particularly look at how that impacted Joseph and anybody who came in contact with Joseph, when we'll see by the end the great impact that Joseph had. I want to, before we go into the message, consider those two words, someone that is discreet and someone who is also wise. Now, the word discreet literally means to separate mentally. It means to be able to distinguish, to understand. By application, this is the person who is prudent. He avoids errors or avoids doing evil by selecting the best means to accomplish a particular purpose. It is the discreet man, not the witty, not the learned, not the brave, who guides the conversation and gives measures to society. This was Joseph. He was a discreet man. He was able in his mind to separate things, to distinguish things, to understand things. And by the way, that discreet and that wisdom from Joseph is followed by the Pharaoh saying, we can't find anybody in whom the Spirit of the Lord is. So we must understand that the discretion and the wisdom of Joseph was not something that came of his own abilities. It is something that came because it was a person with whom the Spirit of the Lord was.
You remember by the moment Joseph is sold as a slave into Potiphar's house, the Bible immediately tells us, and the Lord was with him. And everybody who interacted with Joseph recognized that the Lord was with him. And so we ask ourselves here, when we think about here this expression, the Lord was with him, and often we may look at that and we think, well, that kind of sounds spooky, it kind of sounds like something supernatural, but we ask ourselves, how is it revealed practically in our lives? I'll tell you how. By discretion and wisdom. So we could say this, that if there is a lack of discretion and wisdom in our lives, it is directly connected to the fact that in our lives we are seeking to live apart from the Lord. You see, these are the result of a man with whom the Spirit of the Lord is. So he was discreet, but also he is called wise. The word wise means the ability to use the knowledge that we have and to use that in the right way. Now, that's not my definition. That's the Bible definition found in Proverbs chapter 15, verse 2. The Bible says, the tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness. So we see that the tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright. Someone who is wise is someone who has a certain knowledge, but then based upon that knowledge, the decision he makes is the ability to use the knowledge he has and to use it in the right way. That's exactly what Joseph did he not? There is 7 years of plenteousness coming, and then after that, there are 7 years of famine. And so Joseph was a man of wisdom because Pharaoh recognized not that Joseph said what was going to happen, but that Joseph said, this is how you're going to solve the problem. This is how you're going to deal with the 7 years of plenty, and this is how you're going to deal with the subsequent 7 years of famine. And so Pharaoh had to recognize the discretion and the wisdom in the life of Joseph. You see, we cannot help but come to this moment when Pharaoh spoke so highly about Joseph without first mentioning, I believe it is important, what Joseph had been through. You see, the wisdom and the discretion of Joseph had been displayed throughout his life, no matter what his circumstances have been. Now, if we think about Genesis 41, we come to this moment, this great scene, where Joseph stands before Pharaoh, and Joseph says, you need to find someone who is discreet and wise. And Pharaoh looks around and he says, the only person I see that is discreet and wise is you. But understand, Joseph was discreet and wise before he came to that moment when it was recognized. It was already part of his life. But what is interesting is the moment he comes to this place, when it is acknowledged, we can't help but think of everything he's been through. And I believe that it brings a whole lot of weight before we consider Genesis 47. By way of introduction, I want us to consider the stage that we're setting for a man who is discreet and wise. And I want to notice several things about Joseph by way of remembrance that shaped the character of Joseph or gives us insight into Joseph being a man who is discreet and wise. And the first thing we notice is this. First, we have seen that in his desire to do right, he was hated. This is what we've already seen so far. We have seen that in his desire to do right, Joseph was hated. Now, let's go back to Genesis chapter 37. Again, we're setting the stage here. If you remember, Joseph was favored by his father. He had given Joseph a position of leadership over his brothers. In verse number 2 of chapter 37, the Bible says that Joseph, at the end of the verse, Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. So there's perhaps nothing worse that can aggravate a man who is not doing right than someone saying, you're not doing right. And here Joseph is a man who has been faithful to his father, and he gives to his father the evil report. If you go down with me to verse number 4, what is the response from the brothers? And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. As we think about the interactions between Joseph and his brothers, it reminds me of my children.
Every time we get in the car, you know, close quarters, close contact, six children sitting beside each other. They cannot not touch each other. They cannot not argue with one another. That is just part of life. But here we're talking about grown men. And there is no maturity that is seen in their lives. The Bible says they hated him so much that they could not speak peaceably unto him. In other words, they never had a conversation with Joseph that was peaceable. It was always a conflict. It was always an argument. It was always childish. But what that tells us about Joseph is that he was not afraid to do what was right, and yet at the same time be hated for it. You see, this tells us something about Joseph. It tells us this, that Joseph's love for the Lord far outweighed the hatred of his brothers. Joseph's love for the Lord far outweighed the hatred that of his brothers. What I mean by that is Joseph at any time could say, you know what, I'm going to stop doing what is right because I don't want to be hated. I want to be approved. I want to fit in with my other 10 brothers. I don't want to be the outcast. I just want to be part of this group. No, Joseph's love for the Lord far outweighed the hatred of his brothers. In other words, he was willing to be hated if it meant to do what is right. That's what we learn about Joseph. That tells us that he was a man discreet and wise. Also, we learn, secondly, we have seen that in his desire to live right, he was slandered. In his desire to live right, he was slandered. If you go with me to Genesis chapter number 39, when Joseph is sold now as a slave in the house of Potiphar, the Bible tells us here of the wife of Potiphar who began to tempt Joseph and to be immoral with him. And if we go down to verse number 8, the Bible says, as Joseph was proposed by Potiphar's wife, verse number 8, the Bible says this about Joseph, but he refused. And he said unto his master's wife, behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath to my hand. There is none greater in this house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? And so here Joseph took a stand. He wanted to live right, and he did so. He wanted to live right before the Lord. It is clearly found in this passage. He doesn't even say, well, I can't do this great wickedness and sin against you, or I can't do this great wickedness and sin against Potiphar, although that would apply. No, he says, I can't do this great wickedness and sin against God. And what did that bring about in his life? We applaud Joseph when he said, what a wonderful man of character. But notice what happens, verse 14. When she caught Joseph, he ran off in verse 14, and she called unto the men of her house and spake unto them, saying, see, he hath brought in an Hebrew unto us to mock us. He came in unto me to lie with me, and I cried with a loud voice. You see, we have seen that Joseph had a desire to live right, and as a result, he was slandered. This tells us that Joseph's love for the Lord far outweigh the lust of the flesh. That's what we've already learned about Joseph. His love for the Lord far outweighed the lust of the flesh. That is a wise and a discreet man. But there's a third thing we noted about Joseph, and that is this. We have seen that in his desire to be right, he was forgotten. In chapter number 40, if you go with me in chapter 40, you remember the chief baker and the chief butler from the house of Pharaoh come in. They're in prison. The Pharaoh got upset with them. And they both have dreams. And Joseph comes and he gives the interpretation of those dreams. But I want you to notice the scene in verse 6. Notice Genesis 40, verse 6. And Joseph came in unto them in the morning and looked upon them, and behold, they were sad. Verse 7. And he asked Pharaoh's officers that were with him in the ward of his Lord's house, saying, wherefore look ye so sadly today? I want to pause here, and I want to remember, Joseph was so hated that he was sold as a slave. They conspired to kill him. They end up selling him as a slave.
He tried to live right and to live a life of purity before God, and as a result, he was slandered because of it. And now you find Joseph, he is in prison, and we could say that out of all people in prison, certainly he has the right to be depressed, has the right to be upset with the situation, but notice his concern is towards those who are looking sad. He looks at these two men, they're obviously distraught, they're obviously upset, and he basically asks, in our vernacular today, are you okay? Is everything well with you? In verse number 23, we come to the end of the verse, we know that he gives both dreams, the chief baker and the chief butler, and one of them is going to die, one of them is going to live, and those prophecies came true, and we find here that the chief butler who was restored is happy, he's thrilled, this is amazing, and notice verse 23 tells us, yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forgot him. You know, the Bible shows, God shows us this verse is because this doesn't have to be there for any other reason than God telling us that everybody forgot about Joseph. Nobody paid attention to him. Although he was a man who did right, he was a man who lived right, who he wanted to be right in caring for those who were there who were depressed, to show concern for them. And so it shows us here that Joseph's love for the Lord far outweighed his desire for recognition. That's what we've learned about Joseph thus far. We've learned that Joseph's love for the Lord outweighed the hatred of his brothers. Joseph's love for the Lord outweighed the lust of his flesh, and Joseph's love for the Lord far outweighed a desire for recognition. And I tell us this evening that if we are seeking for recognition in this world, we are not going to be discreet and wise. If we are going to seek to indulge in the lust of our flesh, we are not going to be discreet and wise. And if we seek to kind of fit in so that the world doesn't hate us, we are not discreet and wise. Joseph's love for the Lord far outweighed all of those things. And we come to Genesis 41, and now we say, now it's recognized. Now there's a man who sees Joseph, a man in whom the Spirit of the Lord is, and now Joseph has been recognized, but understand everything that's preceded that has built up to this moment. And so we see, as we think about this expression that Pharaoh says, that Joseph was discreet and wise, as we come to Genesis chapter number 47, I want us to consider the great benefit or the great blessing that Joseph was to those around him because he was discreet and wise. And I want to examine, first of all, if you're writing down notes, first of all, we notice the wise and discreet man is, first of all, a blessing to those who are connected to him. A wise and a discreet man is a blessing to those who are connected to him. And what I mean by that is we come to Genesis 47, the great recipients of the discretion and the wisdom of Joseph is his family. Isn't that interesting? We come to Genesis 47. Notice right off the bat in verse number 6, the Bible says, as again, Israel with his children come to meet Pharaoh. Joseph introduces his family to Pharaoh. Pharaoh meets the father. He meets the brethren. Verse number 6, the land of Egypt is before thee, and the best of the land. Make thy father and brethren to dwell in the land of Goshen. Let them dwell, and if thou knowest any men of activity among them, then make them rulers over my cattle. We find in verse number 11 of the same chapter, and Joseph placed his father and his brethren and gave them a possession in the land of Egypt, in the best of the land, and in the land of Ramses, as Pharaoh had commanded. And Joseph nourished his father and his brethren, and all his father's household with bread, according to their families. And so we come to this part in Genesis 47 and say, wow, look at the great benefit that the house of Jacob enjoys. Look at the great benefit that Joseph's brothers are enjoying. They get to be in the best part of the land. According to this, we see they get to have the possessions of the Egyptians. They get to rule over the cattle over the cattle that belong to Pharaoh. They get to this place where their wealth increases. And we ask ourselves here, how has all that been made possible? And I'll tell you how, by the wisdom and the discretion of Joseph. That's how. Joseph was able to be a great blessing to his family because of his wisdom and discretion. You know, how often do we in our own lives, as we've seen witness in the world, bring about a curse upon those who are connected to us and not a blessing because of our lack of wisdom and our lack of discretion? You see, Joseph was a great blessing to his family because of his wisdom and discretion. And I want to notice three things that we consider that put what would become the nation of Israel in this position. We're going to find in the midst of the famine, the Bible says they multiplied. Their possessions increased. And say, how is that possible while the famine is going on? I'll tell you how. Because of the discretion and wisdom of Joseph. We find, first of all, as we think about the wise and discreet man as a blessing to those connected to him, we see that Joseph communicated here the importance of their work. In verse number 6, when they come to Pharaoh, remember they are introduced as shepherds. Now, shepherds were despised by the Egyptians, but now they're put in this position where even Pharaoh is going to say, if there's any cattle that are out there, make basically your brothers, those who are part of your family, who have this experience, to make them rulers over my cattle. Now, that's quite amazing. But here is, how could they come into this position? How were they brought into this place where Pharaoh would give them a position to a group of people that the Egyptians, generally speaking, despised? Because of the wisdom and the discretion of Joseph. We also see the increase of their wealth in verse number 11. The Bible says, and gave them possessions in the land of Egypt. So it's not that they just received the land. They received also possessions in the land of Egypt, because they were part of the best of the land. If you go down with me to verse 27 of the same chapter, the Bible says here, and Israel dwelt in the land of Egypt, in the country of Goshen, and they had possessions therein, and grew and multiplied exceedingly. And by the way, that is during the famine. Wait, that's not possible. How is that possible? Because of the wisdom and the discretion of one man. We see the importance of their work, their increase of their wealth, and we also see the intercession for their weakness. In verse number 12 of Genesis 47, the Bible says, and Joseph nourished his father and his brethren and all of his father's household with bread according to their families. That is such a precious statement. Just because we know the history. Just because we know how Joseph was treated by his brothers. Now, this idea here is the picture for us is that Joseph nourished his father and his brethren and those that were their children. It's not the idea that, you know, Joseph literally fed them, but literally he provided for them. He gave them, in the midst of this famine, everything that they would need. Now, remember, they were in a famine. Jacob had sent his brothers into Egypt. Why? Because they were running out of food. They were in a place where they were distraught. There was a conflict in the home with Jacob and his sons, and they were arguing about sending Benjamin to Egypt or not sending him, and there's that conflict, and Jacob says, remember the sentence here, all things are against me. He thought this was the end. He was going to die, and now they're experiencing this great blessing, and what I'm saying to you, it was the discretion and the wisdom of Joseph that stood as an intercession for their weakness. They could not provide for themselves, but Joseph, in his wisdom and discretion, provided for them and gave them everything they needed. And I say to us that if we are going to be a people who are wise and who are discreet, we will be a great blessing to anybody that's connected to us. But the opposite is also true, is it not? That if we are not wise and discreet, we might tend to be a curse to those who are connected to us. May the Lord help us to see here that the wise and discreet man is a blessing to those connected to him. But then we move on and we see that the wise and the discreet man, number two, is a blessing to those who are counting on him. In this chapter, we find how the discretion and the wisdom of one man brought an entire nation to the zenith of its power. Because that's what happened. Even historians would agree that before Joseph came along, based upon the timeline of history, Egypt was not that great. Egypt was not that powerful, although it was a great nation, but it was not, if you would, there was no world domination. But as you go on and study history, by the time Moses comes on the scene, the Bible says there was a Pharaoh who was there who did not know Joseph or those who came before him. And the Bible says here that when Moses comes on the scene, the historians agree that when Moses comes on the scene and when Egypt is brought to its knees, it was when Egypt was at its highest power. Well, who brought about that? It was not Egypt. It was not the fact that, man, they had a powerful army. They had all these things at their disposal, and they had chariots, and they had horses, and they had all those things. No, Egypt came to its zenith because of the discretion and the wisdom of one man. And we find that the wise and discreet man is a blessing to those who are counting on him. I want you to notice several things about the wisdom and the discretion of Joseph, how he dealt with the Egyptians. We see how he dealt with his family, who would be those who would be the recipients of the wisdom and the discretion of Joseph, which, by the way, would be a great lesson for them, would it not? Would it not be a great lesson for them? They wanted to throw him away as a piece of trash. And now they look up to him as a man of wisdom and discretion, as a man who saved their lives, literally. But we see the interaction with the Egyptians. I want you to notice several things he taught the Egyptians. We already read through this chapter, but I want you to write it down if you're taking notes. First of all, we see he taught the people proper stewardship. He taught the people in Egypt proper stewardship. As we begin to read in this chapter, the Bible tells us in verse number 13, "And there was no bread in all the land, for the famine was very sore, so that the land of Egypt and all of the land of Canaan fainted by reason of the famine. And Joseph gathered up all money that was found in the land of Egypt and in the land of Canaan for the corn which they bought. And Joseph brought the money into Pharaoh's house. And when the money failed in the land of Egypt and in the land of Canaan, all the Egyptians came unto Joseph and said, 'Give us bread, for why should we die in thy presence? For the money faileth.' And Joseph said, 'Give your cattle, and I will give you for your cattle if money fail.'" Now, we come to this point, and this is really most interesting to me, because we come into the practical aspect here of how Joseph, one man, dealt with a worldwide pandemic, a worldwide famine, a worldwide shortage of food. One man. What did he teach the people of Egypt? He taught them this. He taught the people proper stewardship. Now, how do we see that? Joseph, I want you to see, did not give any grain away for free. He never did that. You see, giving their grain away, I believe, would have destroyed Egypt and many other nations that depended upon Egypt's resources. Egypt is and has been for in the study of the Word of God a picture of the world, and by application, Egypt is representative of a materialistic society. The people of Egypt were known as being wasteful people, and we see here that if Joseph had just given things out in the first year and the second year, the Egyptians, as they would by pattern, they would have wasted it all away. And so what Joseph taught them by not just giving everything for free, he taught the people proper stewardship. You remember when the Bible records for us in Hebrews chapter 11 about Moses, the Bible says that by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. You see, there was great treasures in Egypt. It was a materialistic society, a society that was given to their possessions. And so Joseph would have been foolish to just give everything away. Had Joseph given the grain away, the people would have wasted it. By selling the grain, Joseph was encouraging a people to be good stewards of what they had in their possessions. You see, when you pay for something, you treat it differently. You know, I've experienced that even with our own children. You know, we have our own possessions, and if you have something around the house, you know, they treat it like, you know, wow, it's another toy, and they throw it against each other, throw it against the walls and all those things. But as soon as they buy something, you know the first thing they all do? They go hide it in their beds. That's what they do. Why? Because they spent their money on it, and because they spent their money on it, it is more precious to them. In other words, it means something different when they spend their own money. And so we see here in this the wisdom and the discretion of Joseph, who's not just going to give three things out to people who are going just to waste it. It would also do well for our society in this present age to stop handing things out without having any conception, and to try to encourage people with a proper stewardship. As long as you keep giving things out to freebies to everybody, they will never respect their possessions. They will always waste it and squander it. And it has ruined this country. In Genesis chapter 41, you remember, when the famine first happened, the Bible says, let Pharaoh do this and let him appoint officers over the land and take up the fifth part of the land of Egypt in the seven plenteous years. Joseph had done, think about that. Now, by the way, we're going to learn, all of the Egyptians had their own lands. Did they not? They're going to end up selling their lands. And so Joseph had a certain portion of land that he was in charge, and he was supposed to collect a fifth during the 7 years of plenteousness that would be enough to last for the next 7 years of plenteousness. And what Joseph had done with a fifth part of the land, he had done more with that than the Egyptians had done with the other four-fifths. You see, Joseph was able to feed the Egyptians and many other nations around the world for 7 years with one-fifth. That's remarkable. Where's the other four-fifths? Where are those numbers? You see, the endless handouts have not served our own country well. Many characters have been ruined by such a lack of wisdom and discretion. You see, he taught the people proper stewardship. You know, we think about our country. You know, there's a certain generation they call the greatest generation. What is that generation? That generation from World War II, and that went through the Depression. Why do they call it the greatest generation? Because it was during that generation that they learned proper stewardship. Before then, America was doing great. Capitalism was thriving. People's wealth and bank accounts was mounting. And then it all came down. And then they learned how to handle their finances differently. And they are called the greatest generation. Why? Because they learned proper stewardship. So he taught the people proper stewardship. I want you to think about how that developed. First of all, remember, he asked for their money. We go back to chapter 41. We see that they paid money. They brought, they sold. As the famine waxed sore in the land, we come here to Genesis 47. Notice what happens in verse number 15. And when the money failed in the land of Egypt and in the land of Canaan, all of the Egyptians came unto Joseph and said, give us bread, for why should we die in thy presence, for the money faileth? If you go back to verse 14, and Joseph gathered up all the money that was found in the land of Egypt and in the land of Canaan for the corn which they bought, and Joseph brought the money into Pharaoh's house. So you see that? They ran out of money. All of the different groups of people who were in Canaan, who were proximity to Egypt, they ran out of money. The Egyptians themselves, they also ran out of money. And now they're at the position where the money failed. They don't have any more money. And we could say, all right, Joseph, now's the time to give everything for free. That's not what Joseph did. Don't you notice verse number 16? We see they gave their money. Secondly, they gave their cattle. Notice verse number 16. And Joseph said, give your cattle, and I will give you for your cattle if money failed. And I can hear now the politicians of the day, with all the stuff he had in store, why wouldn't he just not give it for free?
Because he was a man who was wise and discreet. That's why. That is why. You see, when they ran out of grain, they not only were unable to feed themselves, but they were also unable to feed their own flocks. You see, they provided food for themselves and also ensures by selling their cattle, not only did they provide food for themselves, but it ensured in Joseph's possession that their cattle would be taken care of. You see, then soon all the cattle was sold in Egypt. So what do you do now? Well, notice verse 20. We come down to verse number 20. Well, let's go back to verse number 19. Wherefore shall we die before thine eyes, both we and our land? Buy us in our land for bread, and we in our land will be servants unto Pharaoh, and give us seed, that we may live and not die, that the land be not desolate. And Joseph bought all the land of Egypt for Pharaoh, for the Egyptians sold every man his field, because the famine prevailed over them, so the land became Pharaoh's. Now, let me just pause here. The people of Egypt already had a pattern of what to do for 7 years, and they didn't do it. Joseph showed them the pattern. One-fifth was kept aside. And now he had enough to feed all of them, and so now they had to sell their field, and we asked, well, this is unfair. No, it's not unfair, because they were not discreet and wise. They squandered it. They wasted it. And as a result now, there, if you would, this is not Joseph's fault, but some reason, sometime we live in a society today, now you turn it because of your own decisions and the world's own decision. They turn and they have to blame somebody else. It's always the way it goes, is it not? And they ought to put the blame on themselves. They had their own lands, but had not managed those well. They had not set one-fifth of the grain aside. Now they found themselves wanting. And when all the land was sold to Pharaoh, the only thing that was left to give was their lives. And you come to verse number 23, and the Bible says, "And Joseph said unto the people, Behold, I have bought you this day and your land for Pharaoh. Lo, here is a seed for you, and ye shall sow the land." Joseph, you see that? No more money. No more cattle, no more land. The only thing that they have is they have to give themselves. And he still does not give them grain. What does he give them? Seed. What do you do with seed? You work the land. Isn't that interesting? At no point does Joseph give the grain for free. At no point does Joseph said, hey, there's this free handouts. He taught the people proper stewardship, and so now their work would mean more to them. Now, because of this situation, now they would have to exercise wisdom. Would you imagine that after those 7 years of famine, after now they were working those lands, that perhaps they would think about setting apart one-fifth in case something might happen? Certainly they would. Do we think that they would be less wasteful? Certainly they would. You see, when there was nothing else to give, they gave themselves and Joseph fed them. Consider their acknowledgement in verse 25. This is quite remarkable. As a matter of fact, these people are not complaining at all because they've learned through this whole process. Verse 25, and they said, "Thou hast saved our lives. Let us find grace in the sight of my Lord, and we will be Pharaoh's servants." You see, they acknowledged the great blessing that Joseph was to them. I believe that this saving of their lives is not just, yes, they were saved from the famine, their own lives were saved, but I believe that now that they've been taught proper stewardship, that indeed has also saved their lives in the future from repeating the same mistakes. You see, when Joseph gave the seed, if you notice with me, in verse number 21, "And as for the people, he removed them to cities from one end of the borders of Egypt, even to the other end thereof. Only the land of the priest bought he not, For the priest had a portion assigned to them of Pharaoh, and did eat their portion which Pharaoh gave them. Wherefore they sold not their lands. And Joseph said unto the people, Behold, I have bought you this day and your land and for Pharaoh. Lo, here is seed for you, and ye shall sow the land. And it shall come to pass, verse 24, in the increase, that ye shall give the fifth part unto Pharaoh, and four parts shall be your own. For seed of the field and for your food and for them of your households and for food for your little ones. First of all, we see that he taught the people proper stewardship. But secondly, as we see what he asked them to do, he taught the people the value of work. Isn't that what he did? He did not give them grain. What did he give them? Seed. And notice as he gives them seed, this is very interesting. They would be rewarded according to their work. How do we know that? Because the model, if you would, that they have is you get 80%. Pharaoh gets 20% of whatever you do. Wouldn't that be an incentive for them to work hard? Because obviously, the more grain they get, the more they get to keep. And by the way, that was a cutoff. There is not like, well, if you have a whole bunch of grain, then you won't have 80%. Let's go down to 50%. That's not the way it worked. It was always percentage. But the principle that is taught there is they would be rewarded according to their work. The slugger who did not work hard would obviously have less percent, would have the same percentage, but less in his possession because it would be in direct proportion to his work. See, those principles are Bible principles by a man who was discreet and wise, and it would do good for our society to put their nose in the Word of God and to start to apply those same principles to our society, and certainly I think our society would be much the better for it. A society that says, well, we are going to, those who are really rich, we're gonna tax them 60 and 70%. That is ludicrous, it is ungodly, and it is immoral. You see, the same percentage. They would be rewarded according to the work. So he taught the people proper stewardship. He also taught the people the value of work. But there's a third thing he taught the people. He taught the people the benefit of being a wise and discreet man. How do we know that? Because you would imagine here, we think, oh, the people of Egypt. Well, you see, the people of Egypt all had their own families as well. I thank the Lord that I've never been in that position where I've come to a week in my life and I say, well, maybe in college, but not when I've had my family. But when I've come to myself, I don't know where I'm going to find my next meal. I need something. I need to be able to feed my family here in the next hour. They need to eat. I thank the Lord that I've never been in that position, but guess what? That's where the Egyptians were in. That's the position they had been in. That's where Jacob and his family had been in. They could not provide for the next meal. They come and they beg Joseph, we need grain. And Joseph, in that, he teaches them proper stewardship. He teaches them the value of work. But also in that, he teaches them the benefit of being wise and discreet. I would imagine that they would learn their lesson. I would imagine they wouldn't want to be in that place where they say to themselves, I will never put my family again in that position. I will never be so wasteful and so foolish and so not caring about what tomorrow brings that I'm just going to squander everything I have today. They perhaps would never do this again. And so Joseph here taught the people the benefit of being wise and discreet. And so by implication we see, first of all, that the wise and the discreet man is a blessing to those who are connected to him. And you know, I think we can think about our families, we can think about our churches, we can think about those who are closest to us, our dear friends. If we are going to be wise and discreet, we're going to be a great blessing to anybody that's connected to us. We also will be a great blessing to those who are counting on us. You think about your place of work, and there's different aspects that can be applied. But there's a third thing that I would like to note, and that is this: the wise and the discreet man is a blessing to those who are contrary to him. I come to this chapter and I can't help but think about those brothers. The Bible says he fed them. He gave them a job.
He provided for them. And in that chapter, the Bible says their wealth multiplied. Wait a minute. Those are the same brothers that had sold him as a slave. Those are the same brothers that envied him. Those are the same brothers that hated him. Those are the same brothers who, as they were conversing, were thinking about killing him. Those are the same brothers when he called out for help. They refused to hear. And now Joseph provides for everything they need. And I say to us that the wise and the discreet man is a blessing to all those who are even contrary to him. You remember what Joseph said in chapter 45? When he revealed himself and said, I'm your brother whom you sold into Egypt. Notice in verse number 4 of Genesis 45, and Joseph said unto his brethren, come near to me, I pray you. And they came near, and he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom ye sold into Egypt. Now therefore be not grieved, nor angry with yourselves, that ye sold me thither. For God hath sent me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years hath a famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years, in the which there shall neither be earing nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve you of posterity in the earth, and to save your lives by a great deliverance. You see, there's no doubt we can say that the discretion and the wisdom of Joseph was a great blessing to anybody that was connected to him, his father, his family. It was a great blessing to those who counted on him, the Egyptians, and we could say the entire world. But also he was a great blessing to those who were contrary to him. See, it is interesting that you never find wisdom and discretion retaliating. Remember, the brothers are so concerned that in the next chapter, when Jacob is about to die, they're talking among themselves. And you know what they say? Oh, Joseph is going to avenge us. He's going to avenge what we've done. Remember what Joseph said? Am I in the stead of God? You see, a wise and a discreet man does not retaliate. Indeed, he is a blessing to all those who are contrary to him. And that is exactly the teaching of the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter number 13. Will we go there? Will you go there with me? Romans chapter number 13. Verse number 7, or chapter 12, excuse me. Romans 12, verse 17. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. That's the Bible right there. And Joseph was the perfect demonstration and the illustration of a man who was a blessing to all those who were contrary to him. But I want us to go through, if you would, the progression. Because remember, Joseph was a man, we could say, who loved the Lord. He loved the Lord. His love for the Lord outweighed the hatred of his brothers. His love for the Lord outweighed the lust of his flesh. The love for the Lord outweighed the desire to be recognized. He loved the Lord beyond any of those things, and his love for the Lord was evident in the life. Wherever he went, people says, oh, the Lord is with him. That's not what he said. He never claimed that for himself, by the way, but that's what people said about him. What did that bring about in his life? Wisdom and discretion. What was the product of that? He was a blessing to those who were connected to him, to those who counted on him, and to those who were contrary to him. You see, we have to go through the stages. We cannot be a blessing if we do not have wisdom and discretion. And we cannot have wisdom and discretion unless we love the Lord and we fear the Lord.
That is the progress we find in the life of Joseph. And may the Lord help us in our lives. I think of this truth, the promise that God made to Abraham. You remember what he says? I will bless thee. But then he said this, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. What's the principal truth that it teaches us? It teaches us this, that the reason why God blesses us, that God imparts to us wisdom and understanding and discretion, is so that we be a blessing. The person who received a blessing from God doesn't say, hey, look, I have wisdom, I have discretion, look at what I am, and look at what God has done in my life. No, those things are done so that God blesses us so that we may be a blessing to others. Spirituality is never hoarded. It is always dispensed. I just made up that quote, okay? Those words, that's the first word I could come up with. We never keep it to ourselves. And may the Lord help us to think about those two words as Joseph was, being discreet and wise. And may the Lord help us that would be true in all of our lives.